Satsang, February 18, 2017. If someone is typing, we hear it. If you can mute yourself.
Am I muted?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I just wanted to make sure I was muted.
I can hear you, so probably not.
Okay, I'll just be quiet.
Namaskar. You know, there are many different types of experiences that people have. Some are very difficult. Life can be very hard for people. And different strains and stresses come in the life. Terrible things happen in human lives. Very difficult. And yet human life provides the greatest ability to truly soar into the depths of deep happiness and achieve deep realization and unity with one's internal source of being. So the gamut of human experience is very wide, from extremely painful to entirely blissful. In human life, there are influences of outer experiences, outer circumstances, and there are influences of inner circumstances. Outer circumstances can be truly deplorable or quite pleasant and harmonious. One person in a very difficult outer circumstance may ride through it, maintaining their equanimity, peace of mind, and loving feelings. Even in the most dark situations of war and disaster, you find those outstanding individuals who come forward with great clarity and kindness, selflessness, and love. And in the best of circumstances, you still find those individuals who are miserable, who are petty, who are self-centered, and who bemoan their life. So it appears that external circumstances alone do not on their own create the circumstance or the criteria for a person's happiness. So the internal circumstances in which a person lives their life are the prominent factors for happiness and determine how one will respond in times of difficulty as well as in very good times. those internal circumstances, that internal environment is determined by the accumulation of one's experiences and one's reaction to one's experiences. This is called samskaras, the karma latent in potential within the subconscious mind, held over from reaction to the multiple experiences that have been had in this life and other lives. When a baby is born in this world, it does not come as a blank slate. There is an accumulation of reactions to experience that baby brings into the world. And even in the taking of a specific body with a specific genetic code that set of reactive experience, that momentum of individual life is expressed. Then, once the soul is in the body, it begins to modify the genetic codes to turn off certain genes and turn on others according to the sanskaras, according to the reactive experience of a person. They will even alter their genetic code. And so they grow and develop according to the influences which are there from the past. And then the reactions to current experiences are laid upon that. But they are not laid on a blank slate. They are laid on a configuration that already existed. And so the disposition to emphasize certain experiences and de-emphasize others, to take experience in a certain way, is already programmed. And the person will react accordingly. So this momentum of remembered experience and response to those memories, even if the memories do not reach the conscious mind and cannot be maintained, still they impact the individual. And then new experience lays upon that experience, already filtered, already contextualized. It begins to reinforce tendencies. And so, in this way, the uniqueness of each individual is formed. Each individual has a unique play of light and shadow, a unique play of reaction and response. This uniqueness is caused by this basket of karma, this reaction, this held reactions to all experiences that have ever occurred throughout one's existence. So, in the evolution of life, life born out of matter becomes a unique individuality in its accumulation of reactions to experience. And as that unique individualism grows in magnitude, mind becomes more and more complex, from the simple mind of the most simple creature to the most complex mind of a human being. And as mind grows in magnitude, more complex forms are needed to express that mental tendencies or complexity of mind. As the human form is taken, the mind is complete in all its aspects. There is not only the sensory experience and the reaction to the senses and the body, there is a reflective mind and a capacity to reflect upon the nature of one's own existence. So human beings have a unique opportunity not to simply be governed only by these reactions to past experience, which condition the mind, condition the person to have certain responses, but due to this capacity of reflective mind, they are able to make choices whether to follow a conditioned set of experiences and responses, or whether to question those and choose new responses. This is the speciality of human life. This capacity of choice, of an ability to self-reflect, enables human beings to do the worst of crimes, the most heinous of actions, and to do the best and most noble and selfless acts. It brings choice, and where there is choice, there is also karmic responsibility. A human being becomes responsible for their choices in ways that those with slightly less complex minds do not have. For when they are following the ways of nature, nature guides them. But when this capacity of self-reflection develops in the evolution of a person and they take a form that supports that, that form is called human. Whether it be in the shape known on this planet or in other shapes, it is determined by this self-reflective capacity. When this self-reflective capacity is there, the ability to choose one's destiny comes into play. In that ability to choose one's destiny comes the ability to make heaven on earth or hell, to make the best of circumstances or to make the worst of circumstances. With the reaction and choice comes responsibility. And so human beings become karmically accountable for their actions. When you do an action, that reaction to that choice comes back to your own mind, for you have a sense of doership, a sense, I am responsible for this choice. And so you feel the reaction to that choice. And so human beings grow their mental identification with their individuality, with the choices they make, with the definition of self. They identify themselves as a certain type of person, having a certain role, certain experiences. And this creates a continuity in the mind. Until deep needs and yearnings from deep within the psyche emerge and change it. Within each and every human being is an essential longing, an essential need to come close to the one eternal source, to return to unity with source. In fact, this very need is in all living beings. There is deep in the cellular existence, every cell in the body of every living being yearns, there is a restless yearning to return home to one's source. That is the great capacity of all beings. And so due to this yearning, all of life is moving in this introversial flow towards the cosmic nucleus. Human beings are also swept in this flow. But due to this special ability to make choices, to have conscious awareness of self, and to make conscious choices, the human beings may choose to follow this, or to this introversial pull of life, or they may choose to move away from it. Due to the accumulative reaction from past actions, the sanskaras, they will be influenced one way or the other, but the choice is there to follow or to not follow those sanskaras. That is the beauty of human life. When a human being is going along following these reactions of mind, these sanskaras, and caught in their life, from deep within can come a restless yearning, a longing for something great, for something more. This yearning for something more can get translated in the mind to have more money, more jobs, more material wealth, to accumulate objects, to have more education, more entertainment, more pleasure. But as one seeks that fulfillment of that yearning in all of these, one may come to a place of vacancy where all of these avenues to fulfill your restless yearning do not fulfill you. And from deep within arises a deeper calling, a yearning to find a fulfillment that is more permanent, that is more substantive. When this happens, a crisis often happens in a human being's life. And many times, difficult circumstances will accompany this. Circumstances in which the person may experience distress or upheaval. Sometimes very stable situations in a person's life will suddenly change. And their whole life can be turned upside down. They don't know what to do. But it is this yearning from within, this desire for transformation that causes this upheaval of circumstances in the life. And that upheaval leads to opportunity. It is both crisis in the life and opportunity. The opportunity is to deepen, to transmute the grasping for happiness in fleeting experiences, to finding the happiness which is lasting. No one wants their life to be disrupted. No one wants turmoil. Everyone wants to have a calm and peaceful life, to be happy, to be undisturbed. But the circumstances for this are often fleeting. They come, life is calm and peaceful for a time, things seem to go your way, and then change occurs. It happens in human life like this. And people must cope with that change. They must find ways. And that point where a person has reached that stage is a point of opportunity for each and every person. Opportunity to grow, to expand, to find lasting happiness, to find a deeper relationship to self. So never think of difficult times as your enemy, but rather as your friend, as your opportunity to grow, to expand, and to find that love which is substantive, eternal, and unchanging. When a human being is faced with choices in difficult times, they must search their soul to find themselves in it all and to find their way. And it is then that the transcendent can emerge from within as a guiding force of life. The pull out of ordinary circumstances and the new understanding, the new circumstances in life, cause a transformational shift, cause opportunity for a transformational shift. Other circumstances can also cause this transformational shift. It does not need to be turmoil and upheaval in the life, though that is often the cause for a person going within and finding true transformation, true change. It can also happen gently and gradually through deep self-reflection, through devotion to the divine. Through unconditional love and caring. The values of the heart can begin to overcome the tendencies of the mind. And from within, a new awakening arises, a new insight, a new opportunity to move beyond conditioned experience into new realms of light, of love unconditional. The meditative experience is to further this transformational change. It requires choice, the choice to change, the intention to change, the intention to deepen in love, to deepen in your relationship to truth, to deepen in your own being. When you make this choice, this commitment to your spiritual journey home, to source, your life takes on a different trajectory. It is no longer for the expression of your sanskaras, your reactive mind. It will no longer divert into mere externalization. This commitment will always draw you back to the search for truth and lasting happiness. And in this search for truth and lasting happiness, comes the deep transformational experience of connectedness to the Eternal One. When you have this connectedness to the Eternal One, then the experience of duality dissolves. When you have opportunity to come in the sphere of that Eternal One, then your experience changes. You begin to see and feel through the eyes of that infinite love. And then you begin to have a different set of experiences than your reactive mind, your accumulation from past experiences in embodiment have taught you. You begin to experience the transcendent. The illusions that have been made of I and thou, of duality, that accompany your evolution of mind through physical bodies, begins to break down, and you begin to perceive that there is a unitary whole, a one that is without a second, a one that is in all things, an unchanging consciousness that is manifest in all the colors and forms of this creation. When mind expands and the perceptual field opens and grows, this cosmic awareness comes to be. And with it, the entire understanding of your own existence changes. And a person evolves from the choice maker responsible for their decisions, a great evolution from the one just going in the flow of nature, to one who is a choice maker, to one who realizes they make no choices at all, that everything happens within the mind of the cosmic being, and that all is the play of creation within the cosmic mind. Then the little I feeling identified with a body-mind structure, separate from everything else, begins to soften. Soften into the love which is eternal and inseparable. Suddenly, there are not all these different people in your life. There is one love, one truth, one being in you, in your children, in your loved ones, in your family, in your friends, all beings are of one nature. All beings are of one source. All beings are expressions of the same one. The beloved is everywhere, around you, within you, in those you love, in those deep moments of love, in those deep moments of truth, in those deep connections. The beloved is in the sunrise, in the animals, in the plants, in every cell of your body. When this realization becomes strong, the separation of I and thou begins to dissolve. And you feel there is only the one eternal self of all beings, eternal love, eternal consciousness, eternal one. Then who can measure the separation between you and all life? For you are in all things, and all is in you. This knowledge is freedom, freedom from the suffering of animal life. The more one lives in this joy, the more one lives in this love, unconditional, the more resilience there is in the human heart and the human mind. And even in the darkest times, such people find light and love. So this is the true jewel of human life, the jewel in the heart of the lotus, the jewel in the heart of your mind, is your soul, is the love that you share with every living being, that is your own nature. So it is the great potential of human life to awaken to this truth and shed ignorance which binds to smallness and limitation in favor of love unconditional. When a person gains this understanding, there is no inner and outer. There is no outside world and inside world. There is just one flow, one eternal, continuous existence, one love, unconditional, embodying in all of creation, struggling, suffering, experiencing joy, always yearning to return to the unity and wholeness. That evolutionary force that drives the evolution of beings is that very force that calls all beings home to their source. If you want to be a healer, if you want to be someone who serves living beings. Remember, deep within, every living being is yearning for this source, this love, this wholeness. Bring yourself in connection to this source, this love that is within you and all around you. And let it flow through you. Just fall back into it. Let it do as it will. And healing will flow from your presence. All right? Are there any questions?
Yes, Papa. Mm. I have a problem in the back of my neck for many years, and I have seen many doctors, but nobody can help me. Can you tell me what is the problem and how can I fix it?
Yes, there is a blockage of energy there, a sanskara. Mm. If you do some work to uncover this psychic block and to heal it, then this problem in the physical body will go away. The problem lies in the subtle body, not in the physical body. That is why it is difficult to solve. It is only reflected in the physical body. So you think on that, how you can uncover what is the deep wound from the past. There was once a physical blow to this area, perhaps not in this body. Uncover what is underlying that, and it will. The sanskara needs to be unwound. All right?
Papa, do you mean in my past life, not this life? The
it is something you have carried for a time, yes. But you have opportunity in this life to resolve it, to heal it. All right? Is there more? All right. Namaskar. I'm very happy you have joined today.
The board, up on the board.